B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fourth and final hour, Felger and Maz, which is no longer the name of the show. Well, I keep correcting myself. We are no longer Felger and Maz. We are now Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings, new title sponsor here on Felger and Maz. Welcome to DraftKings, and pretty excited about that deal. That's a pretty big one. That's a new one. I don't know of another radio show here in town or anywhere. Well, some of the national ones, I guess. But I can't think of a local radio show that's had a title sponsor like that. So we're thrilled to have DraftKings aboard. Felger and Maz, now presented by DraftKings. Your thoughts on everything as promised. Here's Stephen Charlton back to Eli Manning. Go ahead, Stephen.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Long time listener. Love the show. I'm just calling in on behalf of Eli Manning. I was just wondering what you guys would think. Why would he put him in the Hall of Fame? Would you think that he needs better numbers? Or
yeah, I think he needs to have been one of the best quarterbacks in the league during his era, and he wasn't.
I'm really shocked, Felger, that you don't like Eli so much. I figured he'd be a guy that he had big stones, what you call big stones all the time. Somebody that comes up clutch like him, wins a couple Super Bowls against the best player ever.
So, Steven.
NFL.
I like him.
I heard like a little while ago that you said you didn't think that he deserved it.
No. So it's two different things. I like the guy, and I liked his guts in big games, and the way he played, especially in 2011, was terrific. And I like him. I wish he still was playing. I wish he went into free agency now and was one of these quarterbacks we were talking about landing somewhere else. So don't confuse that with me thinking that he's not a Hall of Famer. I'm a small hall guy in all these sports. So Eli Manning was never one of the best five quarterbacks in the NFL during his whole, whatever that is, 14-year career. 16-year career,
yeah. And I get that argument. And finishing 500 in the regular season, that doesn't help. Never winning an MVP, that certainly doesn't help. You look at some of the interception numbers, they're Jameis Winston-esque. So I get it, but just on those two postseason runs alone, and the fact he won two Super Bowls, was named the MVP of both those games, and did it against that team and that quarterback and that coach, he gets in.
I mean, I tell you, when you look at his career numbers outside of those two Super Bowls, they're really ordinary. They are. They're really ordinary.
And I don't care about the stats. I'm just eyeballing it. He was never one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Not even one of. He was never, I don't think for a single season of his career would I say he was a top five quarterback in the NFL. So, and I know, but it is inconsistent, because I would put Curt Schilling in the Baseball Hall of Fame based primarily on his postseason track record. Yet I won't do it with Eli. So call me a hypocrite. It's not exactly consistent. But all I can tell you is just that gut feeling. I hear Curt Schilling, I say, yeah, Hall of Famer. I hear Eli Manning, I say, no, not a Hall. It just doesn't pass the sniff test to me.
I'll tell you, though,
and I'll say it one more time. He's going to get in. He's going to get in on the first ballot, first day, first year. He will get in. I just wouldn't vote for him.
Yeah. I was reading something off the call screener, so just keep going.
Okay, babe, here is the other Mike in Woburn. We have we're so popular, we have multiple Mike in Woburns. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi. I have a question. If the team wants Brady to make a decision before free agency, don't they need to make him a viable offer, even if it's team-friendly?
Yep.
Pretty rookie tech quick?
Yep.
And if so, won't we be hearing this soon?
Yep. I mean, I don't know if we'll be hearing it, but, and again, we'll play the Schefter sound here coming up, but Schefter said today the Patriots aren't going to wait around for March 18th for Brady to make up his mind, because they don't want to be late to the market like they were last year at tight end. So if that's the case, and they want Brady's decision early, they have to give him the offer early. So I would expect that have happened. And I would expect it to be a low-grade dog food offer that he's going to have to take or leave. I would assume, and that's if Bill's calling the shot.
Yeah, I mean, look, if they want to know by March 16th, to me, you start the process, I don't know, a month before?
After the Super Bowl.
Yeah, February 15th.
After the Super Bowl.
Start it then and see how it goes, and you can start low, but their best offer is going to have to be out there. If they really want to get it done, like March 10th, something like that. You know, and then you give it a week to kind of refine it, and now Brady never hits the market. I'd be surprised, though, if he doesn't hit the market.
But, you know, you said something interesting earlier. That's just the dominoes are falling. We just don't know what they are. Phillip Rivers is out of Los Angeles. He's out. Moved the whole family to Florida. You know, he wants to be close to his family. He is done with the Chargers. The Chargers are moving into a brand new building, have a tremendous competition on their hands with the Rams selling tickets, market share. They need a name, and they're going to get a name. Breeze is available. Brady's available. Cam Newton might be available in a trade. I wish Eli Manning were still playing and were available, but he's not. But you get what I'm saying. So there's something. You know, are you telling me LA has no plan?
No, they do. Again,
so Phillip Rivers knows something because he's gone.
Right. He knows he's not going back to LA.
Eli Manning knows something because he flat out retires.
Right. He knows there's no real market for him at the numbers he wants.
Okay. So these people know something.
Correct.
Do they all know what's going on and we're the last?
Oh, like, but look, we're always the last, right? We're always the last. The public's always the last.
Well, I hope they keep it from us for another couple months at least.
Oh, they will. I mean, I think Brady's going to stretch this thing out. He wants the Patriots to sweat. He wants them to sweat. Now, he might agree on March 15th, but he's going to, you know, or maybe March 10th, but he's not going to agree now, and he's not agreeing in February.
Cam and Taunton on the Celts last night. Hi, Cam.
How's it going, guys? Yeah, to me, that was a big one because, I'm sorry, like, even last year, with all the dysfunction of last year, they had some big wins. You know, they beat the Raptors. Kyrie makes it 3 in Kawhi's face. Everyone thinks, okay, here we go. The next night, they go out and lose to Utah by 15. And then, you know, Indiana comes in here before Oladipo gets hurt. Blow them up by over 30. And then went to Miami. That was the trip where Brown and Tatum went out partying all night long, and then Kyrie flipped out in Orlando, then Kyrie was done.
Yeah.
I'm like, everything you did Monday would have been washed away if you lost last night. You came out, you were engaged, you faced a team that was playing well, and you got a win. That's what you needed to see.
I agree, 100%. Maybe it was that Lakers game that woke him up, hopefully. We have Tom and Quincy on the Red Sox managerial thing, which we hit on earlier as well. Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, there's a couple things about the managerial thing that's kind of aggravating to me right now. The fact that it seems like they're kind of waiting to find out what Manfred's report's going to be before they actually name somebody. They're not doing themselves any favors here because they're like 3 weeks out from pitches and catches. So you kind of tell me, even if they think they know what the report reads, that they're going to hold off and wait for the report to actually come out before they put one of these people that shouldn't get the job in there in the first place? Because
I don't think that's what's going on, Tom. I think they've told the person internally. They all know internally what's going to happen. But if they name them publicly, it looks bad. And it gives away the fact that they're going to be exonerated by this report and it's a bag job.
Right, because otherwise, how could you possibly hire someone who worked on Alex Cora's staff while the team is under investigation? How do you not know that bench coach or that Jason Varitek or Carlos Fabless wasn't involved in the scam?
So here's the thing. They've already been told by the league they're not going to get implicated in this investigation. Renicki and Fabless and the rest of them are not going to be implicated in it, but don't hire them before the fact because then that gives away the fact that this is in the bag and we told you so. So they are all just sort of playing this game, and that's what I think's going on here.
I mean, I think that a deal was cut. You know,
said earlier that the day Cora was fired, it was Varitek, and this is the rumor?
There was a rumor out there that they had offered the job to Varitek and that he was going to do it. And I think the Red Sox...
How do you feel about that rumor?
So I don't want Varitek to manage this team.
How do you feel about its validity?
I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, it's an easy...
Do you believe it? Odds on favorite to be the next Red Sox manager. I'm going to play the role of Stu here.
I think it's someone internal, and I wish it weren't. Unless it's Fabless, in which I'll
is Varitek the favorite in your mind?
It's either him or Renicki. I mean, everything you read is those two guys.
So they're just waiting for the fake report to drop, and then...
I mean, that's what I think it is. And when I say I don't want Varitek to do it, I think Varitek would be an exceptional bench coach to start. And he'd be a good manager, too, wherever he is. I don't know that this is the right market for him to start. He's not the most media-friendly.
He's not dynamic.
No, he's not. He's not. And again, you know, I loved him when he was a player.
As a public speaker, he's not dynamic.
Correct,
as
correct.
As a player, he's dynamic.
Yeah, and as a clubhouse leader, he had a presence to him, too. But I don't think the public is going to warm to him based on, you know, post-game interviews.
We've got Jack and Lowell. Hi, Jack.
Hey, guys. I was just wondering, if Brady went to Miami, wouldn't he not be able to wear number 12 because it's retired, Bob Greasy?
So is Bob still with us?
Is Hello.
He, I don't so. Know. I don't know.
I think so. Doesn't he still do, does he still do any college football?
I'm just not sure. And I don't mean to disrespect the living or the dead, but I say that as a precursor to one little Google search can tell us. Bob Greasy is a former, so he is still with us.
So he could reach out, or to the family, even if he wasn't with us, like Manning did with Denver, okay, to Frank Trepica and get the number.
There's no reaching out.
Puka, whatever the hell his name was.
It is, if the Dolphins have a chance to get Tom Brady, Stephen Ross, the owner, goes to Bob Greasy and says, Bob, call Tom and tell him we can take the number down from the rafters. Like, that's a no-brainer. Who was it in
Frank Trepica, wasn't it?
That Frank Trepica was a forward for the
No, that
Nuggets.
Was Kelly Trepica.
Kelly Trepica.
Who's went to Notre Dame.
Yeah, who the hell's Frank Trepica?
Probably his father.
I remember it because we talked about it at the time. The number was retired by the Broncos, and Manning probably paid for it or hired his goons to go after him.
Okay, so I didn't know Peyton had goons. He probably does. The it's one thing for Frank Trepica, whoever the hell that is.
Yeah, Frank Trepica, I was right.
To let his number come down from the rafters in Denver. Bob Greasy's a little bit more of a legend than I guess.
But he was the Broncos' first franchise quarterback. He didn't want to wear number 18. The Manning had worn for 14 seasons, blah, 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 blah.
Whatever, whatever, whatever. Settle that.
He's the father of Kelly Trepica.
Yeah, is he really? Yeah. How about this?
Yep. And also Shane Trepica and Travis.
Is that like Pete Tebow?
Exactly.
Yeah, either way, the numbers should be the least of their problems, I would think. Eric and Walpole on the Patriots in their drafts. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, so I have a couple questions. And first off, big fans. I got to say, do you think that when it comes to the quarterback situation for the Patriots, do you think they'll go after someone like Bridgewater or Mariota or just go into the draft and draft a fresh quarterback? And then my other question is, do you think they'll stick with Gostkowski as the kicker or go with the kicker from Georgia?
Okay, so let's do the kicker thing first. We'll put off the quarterback thing till we hear from Schefter again. They absolutely have to draft a kicker or bring one in. I know you don't have to draft one, but you got to have some young kickers in camp this year, please, for the love of God.
No question.
I mean, come on now.
Oh, and I hope it's that kicker from Georgia. He looks just like Poindexter.
Is that the guy with the glasses?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'll take him.
Rodrigo
Fine.
Blankenship.
Whatever. I don't care who it is. Harry Schmedlap. Yeah. Well, whatever. There has to be young guys in camp this year. Absolutely have to be. The latest on the Brady Watch right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Well, here's the situation. I don't believe the New England Patriots are waiting till March 16th to get an answer from Tom Brady. Right? Last year, Rob Gronkowski wound up retiring in late March. Now, I don't know the conversations they didn't have before, but New England missed the window on free agent tight ends. So I don't think that they're going to let Tom Brady go to free agency, all of a sudden sign with Team X, and then on March 20th say, well, what do we do at quarterback now? So that's not the way that that organization operates.
So does that mean, Adam Schefter, that they believe Jared Stidham is not the guy or not ready? Therefore, they will have to be in the quarterback market to start free agency March 16th, tampering period, March 18th, league year. And they have to get their ducks in a row beforehand so they can go get somebody. Who is that somebody? Who do you want it to be? Murray, who do you want it to be? Because you're very vocal about who sucks
yeah.
and who you don't want. Who do you want? You give me a name. And then
of like the junk that's out there?
Yes, or let me mock your name then. Because you've got to pick one now. Give me a list of three. Go ahead. Let's hear them.
I don't want any of these guys
in
the room.
I want to hear it. Come on.
I said that Jared Stidham.
If Jimmy Stewart were here, he would make you do this. So come on.
Jared Stidham's my first choice. Oh, me
too.
Available.
Okay. Now Jared Stidham's not ready. All unfortunately right. for us, I want Stidham too. Now we have to go in to that vast effluvium of crap.
Oh.
Come on, list them. Give me 1, 2, 3 so I can mock your selections. 1, 2, 3.
Draft someone.
Nope.
Fine.
Of the veteran, because this is how the Eli Manning thing started. Of the veterans that are available, who's your guy?
Teddy Bridgewater is number one.
He sucks. Idiot. Okay, who's two?
Trade for Nick Foles with Jacksonville.
Nick Foles.
Beat you.
So what? So did Mark Sanchez. You want him?
He's got a third leg. He keeps all his powers. And number three, I'm just trying to think realistic here.
Okay, so no trades. Has to be a free agent.
Oh, Christ.
Come on. I need two more so I can mock you.
Well, then Breeze then?
No. We're not doing Breeze because if you're going to pay someone $30 million, you're just going to give that to Brady.
Right, who the hell are the free agents?
Come on. A.J. McCarron?
No, I don't want him.
You have to pick him.
I don't have to.
Yes, you do. This is what Stewart would demand.
You have to pick another guy. You don't have to pick McCarron.
Yeah, fine. A.J. McCarron then. Let's see.
A.J. McCarron.
I hate him. I don't want him. You're forcing me to pick
him. Well, see, there you go.
This take bullying is what this
welcome
is.
To my world. Welcome to my world.
And I can't say Philip Rivers?
You can say Philip Rivers.
Then fine. Philip Rivers.
Maz, would you rather have Philip Rivers or Eli Manning?
Oh, Eli.
Philip Rivers.
I hate Philip Rivers. I think Philip Rivers is so overrated, it's not even funny.
Ryan Tannehill's a free agent.
Good luck.
Murray?
No, I'm good.
I think they have to draft the guy. If it's not Brady, if it is Brady.
Jameis Winston's a free agent.
Oh, please. No, thanks. First member of the 30-30 club of the NFL.
By the way, can I just say, because his name...
Case Keenum's a free agent.
No.
Okay, so what's your list, Murray? Again, Bridgewater 1.
Bridgewater, yeah, okay. I'm now that I have a list. All right, so I'm going to go Bridgewater. I want. I can't trade for BDN.
No trading.
I want Bridgewater.
BDN.
Yeah, big. Yeah. Nick.
Nick. Okay, yeah. Foles. Right. Got it.
Yeah, he puts it out.
I got it. No, I understand.
Bridgewater. How about Mike Glennon for a laugh?
Oh, you want God, Mike please. Glennon? Yep. Oh, you idiot.
And I'll go with. How about Chase Daniel?
Chase.
He did all right with the Bears when he got a shot when Trubisky
Daniel.
Sucked or got
okay.
hurt.
Okay, and I get knocked for the Eli Manning.
Can I just say, since his name has come up and came up a little while ago, if Marcus Mariota ends up as the next quarterback for the Patriots, I'm not watching the games next year. I'm out.
I'm with Maz on that.
I'm out.
Marcus Mariota in.
Maz out.
I agree.
Out. Yep. I'm taking the Carmelo Anthony highway on that one. I am out if they bring in Mariota as a quarterback.
Automatically flip to country or adult contemporary and not even just bypass the ratings decline, just go straight to music?
No, listen, if he's the quarterback, you know, game day Mondays that we do and Tuesday with Bedard and Perillo on Wednesday, all that, you're on your own. I'm out. You can talk to the big boy until you're blue in the face about freaking Marcus Mariota, and you can talk to Perillo about Marcus Mariota. I will sit here and twiddle my thumbs, eat some snacks, and then when we move on to other things, I will chime in.
This is the takeaway. This is the takeaway. Maz was right to point this out earlier. They need to know on Brady because they need to be ready for free agency because they're going to be involved in free agency.
I mean, if they
that's
thought
the takeaway.
If they thought Stidham were the guy, why do they need an answer from Brady on the 16th? Why do they need that? If they thought Stidham were, now, and again, Bedard has told us this. So the only question is whether the Patriots are playing some sort of game with Brady here to leverage him, and they don't want him dinking around. They don't want to get Brady to, you know, Brady just giving them the big yank for crying out loud. So they say, you know, give us an answer. But if they were confident in Stidham, what difference does it make?
Exactly.
Well, why does it have to be an indictment on how they feel about Stidham? Maybe it means they want to use some of the money that they would use for Brady to surround Stidham with weapons. So they're going to spend that way. So we want to know. So we can spend on a tight end, maybe, or a wide receiver that's going to be out there.
All right.
Yeah, because they do that so frequently.
No. Bill will be happy to be rid of Brady, who he didn't want to surround with any talent.
Well,
he tried to pork him the last couple of years. Now I believe in Stidham. I have Garoppolo 2.0. I'm going to get him what he wants.
It's possible, Murray, but that wasn't the implication of Schefter's report there. And it wasn't a report. It was his.
Oh, because it came from Bill.
No, but the Schefter was comparing it to the Gronk situation, which was, They were high and dry at tight end because Gronk strung them along for too long. They're not going to let Brady do that. So the implication is that they're not going to be strung along at quarterback, but, you know, et cetera. So anyway, well, for these purposes, that's how we're going to treat it. So there's that. That's the latest on Brady Watch, day 19. Mike in the truck. Go ahead. What do you got?
A couple things quick. One, why do they want Brady to let him know so soon if Belichick doesn't want him anyways? But my main point was going to be, I know Brady wants to prolong his career so he can sell the TB12 thing, but do you think it motivates him at all to be outliving these other quarterbacks? Do you think he wants to stick around to try and outlive Roethlisberger and Rivers and Breeze and those? I mean, he's outlived the Mannings now.
Yeah, maybe.
Luck due to injury, but...
Yeah, I don't think he has to, but he might. He's already proven it. No one's done at 43 what he's done, or 42. No one's done that. No one's won a Super Bowl as old as he was. Like, he's set all those standards already. And like I said last week or whatever, I think he's still, if he went out right now, he's still going out on top, looking like a good quarterback. Even the numbers were down, he's not hobbling around out there. He doesn't look like Peyton Manning at the end who couldn't throw. He doesn't look like Joe Namath who could barely walk. He didn't look like Brett Favre who went out on the back of a golf cart. He's still a viable elite NFL quarterback who won 3 out of 5 Super Bowls, whatever it was, in his last 5 years. And if he went out now, he'd go out on top. He doesn't have to do anything else. He's proved his point, don't you think?
Yes.
And in some respects, it can only go down from here. You know, if he, you know, and it's possible if he looks worse and things get worse, then that would affect him negatively. If he got out now, I think he goes out on top.
Well, no question. I mean, at the end of the day, they went 12-4. And look, he even had Tony Romo on national TV in his final game saying, it's not Brady. He needs help. He needs help.
And that's how most people feel.
I think so, too.
But if he comes back and he's given help and he doesn't look right, then there's actually some risk there. Alex and Methuen on Eli. Hi, Alex.
So Mike, my point's this, right? You keep saying about how he wasn't in a top five. I think that's missing the point on why he's not going to make the Hall of Fame. How could you ever put a quarterback in the Hall of Fame that has more interceptions than he does touchdowns in multiple seasons? It's baffling to me. He did win 2 Super Bowls. I will give him that, and I think that that's a great feat. I think for most quarterbacks, that is top of the heap other than getting into the Hall of Fame.
So, Alex.
But, yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm not putting him in. He's a no to me. I'm just telling you to the voters – and the Peter Kings of the world, he's going in. And I wouldn't put him there. And the touchdown interception thing, you know, I think Joe Namath and Terry Bradshaw were either 50-50 or underwater. Both those guys. If I'm going to look it up here real quick. I think they threw more touchdowns, or more interceptions than touchdowns. Again, different era. The fact that Eli his record was 500.
Right, 117 and 117.
What was his TD interception ratio?
366 to 244.
I mean, that's not great for this era.
It's not.
Actually, for this era, it blows.
Yeah, and his completion percentage for this era was 60.3.
Which is low for this era.
Yeah, and look, I think the caller manipulated some of the facts. I mean, not that I've ever been, not that I've never been guilty of that.
It's a trademark of this show.
We would never do that.
But he says, you know, had more interceptions and touchdowns multiple years in his career. It was 2, and one of them was his rookie year when he, you know, he had 7 starts. Okay, so like I sort of throw that one out, but he did have one horrendous year. He had 18 touchdowns and 27 picks. 27 picks.
So Terry Bradshaw was career 212 touchdowns, 210 interceptions. So he was just barely above 1-1. And Joe Namath was 173 touchdowns. Guess how many interceptions this guy threw?
215.
220. He threw 215 as a Jet, Maz. Excellent guess. He threw 5 as a Ram. 173 to 220. He won 1 Super Bowl, and this fellow's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he was more famous for his mouth.
Or for the thing Murray likes to talk about. Talk about putting it on the table.
Oh.
Okay. But, I mean, Eli.
DJ.
Whether he deserves it or not, Eli is in. Here's the update with Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't mind it.
I think it sucks.
They're the Killers now?
I don't mind it. I don't mind it.
Oh, it's close.
It's the new Pearl Jam song.
Oh, it's the Talking Heads, too.
Yeah, it does sound a little like that.
And it cuts off a little awkwardly. I don't mind it. It's fine with me.
I think it blows.
What was I just going to say outside of that? I can't remember.
It's a taste of the Sports Hub once the Brady Industrial Complex
goes
kaput.
Right. When we go 3-13 under Jim Murray's guy, Mike Glennon, we're going to flip to alt-rock or adult contemporary.
Trust me, that format doesn't work.
Or something.
In fact, that was a little sneak peek at the program.
I was going to say something else for crying out loud. No, I can't remember what it is. Oh, earlier we talked about Zion Williamson and how he's fat. And how that's a shame, and hopefully, you know, that's one of the brightest young stars in sports, huge potential in the NBA, and he's out of shape, and what a shame that is. And what a shame that Mark Jackson apparently says it on the broadcast, and now is people calling for his job?
Oh, yeah, all you got to do is Google the words Mark Jackson NBA, and up come the stories. Mark Jackson, ESPN, catch heat for Zion Williamson fat-shaming in NBA debut. NBA fans crush ESPN's Mark Jackson for immediately questioning Zion Williamson's weight. Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy announcing NBA games on national TV because it's becoming increasingly problematic. Oh, the horror.
Oh, it's gross.
Oh, I hate the world we live in.
He's fat, and it's not right, and it's not okay. He's out of shape, and he's overweight. And that is not okay. And you are absolutely, positively allowed to say it.
Look how Sean Kemp's career got derailed.
Good one. Good one.
And that's the comp for him.
There's a million examples. When you talk about sports, your physical condition is a huge part of the deal. It plays into just about everything. How you compete, how you analyze the competition. And if you're not allowed to say that, what are you allowed to say?
Now, that being said, trying to practice self-control in New Orleans, I wish the young man all the luck in the world, because I know I couldn't do it. Last time I went there, I came back like 15 pounds heavier in a matter of days.
I mean, he's 19. He's 19. What's he going to be when he's 29?
So anyway, we hit on that earlier. Bill in Pittsfield wants to weigh in. Go ahead, Bill.
Hi, it's Bill. Thanks for taking my call. I got to touch base a little bit on Zion and then a couple comments about the Celtics. I watched the game last night. I think you guys are kind of forgetting that he's not only had one knee injury, he's had two. He was out for 8 weeks, and he probably practiced for 2 to 3 weeks.
So?
Now you know they're not running wind sprints in their practices.
How about watch what
so
you
he
eat?
He is out of shape, but he doesn't look like he's 15 to 20 pounds overweight.
Bull crap.
He does need to get in shape. Charles Barkley hit it right on the head when he said that he's going to need to keep his weight down and to be a good pro.
Yeah.
He needs to get a body on somebody like he does very well. His basketball IQ is skylight material.
Okay, it's fine.
You need to give him a little bit of time. I think maybe one of the...
No. He's a pro now. I'm sorry to cut you off. He's getting paid. It's his job. You are allowed to comment on someone's physical conditioning and athletics on day one. They are paying you now. It is your job to be in shape. It is the baseline of your job.
I mean, didn't Tommy do it to Kyrie on night one last year?
Yeah.
If a guy is getting paid that kind of money, and this is his profession, it's okay as a commentator, especially if they're calling the game to say, hey, he looks a little heavy.
And there's people in the league who think that his weight contributed to the injury in the first place. I was told by someone in the league, kind of high up, the day he got hurt, or the at the time he got hurt, is that the weight's an issue. They're concerned about his weight. That's an issue. It's not okay for him to be out of shape. It's not okay for anyone to be out of shape. never mind a professional athlete whose job it is to be in condition. And if you can't say that, I mean, that to me is a part of the story that grosses me out.
And I tell you what, I...
Good God.
Yeah, and I hate hearing the whole thing of, you know, the knee injury contributes, you can't do... Get on the bike. You know, again, no impact. Just get the knee moving.
No, or the and there's a million things. The swimming pool, whatever. And yeah, also watch what you eat. You can still do it.
So I was just going to say that, too. You know, once he signed, once he get drafted, I'm sure they have a team nutritionist like everybody else, and he's been ignoring the program. It's the first thing I noticed when I saw him in these highlights. After watching him last year, first game in, you look at him, he's fat. First thing, fat.
Shame, man.
Now that's shame. Fat shame. Bob in Worcester.
But again,
ahead.
He's a pro. I'm not fat. I'm not fat shaming. I'm telling you, he's out of shape. He's a pro athlete. He's 19. It was the first thing you notice.
Bob in Worcester, go.
Hey, Felga. Listen, Eli was 8-4 in postseason, threw twice as many touchdowns as interceptions, beat Bill Belichick in two Super Bowls, and he did it in the last minute or two of both of the games when it was do or die. Why do you rip Eli? He's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever.
I'm just telling
you.
Because
he beat Bill Belichick in two Super Bowls.
He's not in my Hall of Fame. My Hall of Fames are tiny, okay? I'm a small hall guy. He doesn't make it in my Hall of Fame. I like the player. So, like, I love how I'm getting ripped. I'm getting ripped on one side for liking Eli Manning over here, and then I'm ripped by the callers saying, why don't you like Eli?
Pick a side.
I like him. He's just not a Hall of Famer, but he'll get in. You don't need to worry about it. He's going to get in. Peter King is going to make sure of it. Day one, he'll get in.
He's also not one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. You'll never hear me. I think he should be in. Okay, but the caller says he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I mean, you know, draw the line. I understand the Hall of Fame is sort of the home for all those people. Okay, but I don't put him in the same class as some of those other guys.
Not even close. Bill and Quincy. Hi, Bill.
Hey, I just want to say, so I don't understand why the Patriots would even entertain bringing Brady back. He missed so many throws last year, and I think a lot of people aren't talking about how bad that he looked, and they want to blame it on all the wide receivers. But do you guys think that maybe a piece of the wide receivers being so terrible is because he demands excellence, like, to the point where it's unattainable for rookies and guys who are kind of marginable?
Well, so that last thing,
So he needs, like, Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman and all these guys who run, you know, perfect routes and have to be at that spot in 3 seconds.
Right.
And if he doesn't have a great offensive line that can block for him, he can't buy time like a Russell Wilson.
Well, let me just stop you. The trouble of young and, you know, lesser wide receivers getting on the same page with Brady is a problem. It's been a problem for a while. So unless you're his guy or some elite, you know, talent that, you know, it's like you're not viable. And that's an issue, and that I put partly on Brady. But he's still good enough to be elite if he's surrounded by the right cast and gets the right protection. I still believe that. But what's the cost, and are they all capable of getting there? Are they capable of finding those guys? Because Bill, you know, has a hard time at the draft, and it takes a lot for Brady to warm up to them and throw to them and trust them. It takes a lot. It's taking too much, in fact. So I don't know if... You know, if I'm the Patriots, I'm kind of done with that whole cycle. Mike's calling us from the 99. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, I was originally going to call and say Brady should go to Tampa for all those offensive weapons, but then I heard that Mariota take, and I'm loving it. The idea that they could get a young guy on the cheap and potentially be good, and in the worst-case scenario, if they suck, Maz never watches a game, and then we just don't have to listen to his Pats takes.
You know what? I'm sorry. I don't hate...
go ahead, say it.
What if Marcus Mariota were dirt cheap?
No, I think he's...
How do you think Bill feels about him?
Bill thinks he could turn him into freaking Joe Montana.
This is what I'm saying. McDaniels likes him.
McDaniels probably likes the mobility factor. I'm telling you that Marcus Mariota does not have the balls to be a good NFL quarterback. And the mere fact that Ryan Tannehill took over the same offense and succeeded should tell you that. You know who he is, Mariota, to me, in some ways, except worse? Was like Alex Smith in San Francisco, except worse. Smith wouldn't throw the ball down the field, wouldn't take chances, and ultimately it wasn't good enough to win. Not win a championship. Because there's got to be some guts to push the ball down the field and force the issue. Mariota won't do it.
I'm just, you know, I've told you this before. You are going to hate the next quarterback. Not you, Maz. I mean,
no, I know what you mean.
You and everybody, you who are listening to me. You're going to hate him because he's going to suck. Because everyone next to Brady sucks. It's like, are you going to be able to recalibrate your thinking and your assessment of the team to say, he's still okay, he's still good, you can still win with him, this is still a fine quarterback? Or is everybody, he sucks, he sucks, he sucks, he sucks, he's going to suck, he's going to suck, he sucks, he's not Brady, Brady won't do that, he sucks. No, this guy sucks. Oh, it's going to be annoying. Like, not everyone's Tom Brady. The next guy is not going to be Brady.
Man, he's
going to
suck.
The next guy, compared to Brady, is probably going to suck. But he still might be fine. He still might be good. Like, I say to you, Tony Romo, Murray. And you're, he sucks.
Good enough never is.
If your next guy is Tony Romo, you should get on your ground and kiss the ground. And be thankful that the guy is at least that good. Because everyone next to Brady is going to suck. And it's like, so like, just be realistic about the thing.
I am realistic. I would like to suck less than Marcus Mariota.
Mike and Woburn, you get the final word. Go.
Hey, so first of all, that knucklehead that just called in is exactly why Eli Manning will be in the Hall of Fame. Because Eli beat the Patriots twice. And beating the Patriots twice applies some type of, holy salve on his career that absolves him of every other deficiency. He basically, if Eli Manning was like Jim Plunkett and beat the Raiders and the Philadelphia Eagles and had a substandard career, he's not in the Hall of Fame because there's nothing special about those Super Bowl wins.
It's such a good point, Mike. We're up against it, so I'm going to cut you off, but you make a great point. The fact that he has two Super Bowl wins and they're against the Patriots,
huge variable.
Makes a huge difference.
Of course. Yeah. Yes. If he had beaten the New York Giants with Kerry Collins a quarterback, who gives a rat's ass?
So true.
No, it's a huge, huge thing in his favor.
Points out Plunkett, two world championships, but Eagles and Redskins? I don't even know who it was.
Redskins.
Yeah. He just said it. So true. And just to play out the analogy, the fact that Schilling did what he did at Yankee Stadium, like that's, if that were wherever, you know, Arizona, I know he played for Arizona, but you know what I mean.
Different.
Kansas
that
were
Tampa or Kansas City, would he have the same amount of juice?
No, and that matters. It does. Can I just share something with you quickly?
Please do, guys.
Because did Billy say it to you too or just to me? So remember when I said Zion Williamson looks like this at 19, out of shape, heavy? What's he going to look like when he's, what's he going to be when he's 29? Billy whispered in my ear, fat and rich.
It's true.
I just thought that was worth sharing.
And it's okay to say the first thing, too. The final word comes your way next.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
All right, today we relived the last three terrible drafts by Bill Belichick and the Patriots and how that's going to end up crippling the team going forward. So let's relive going through some of those drafts with a best of piece from the final word put together by Hardy, the draft name game.
Oh, this is
the name game.
Okay.
Come on, everybody.
I'm going to assume this month,
top right.
I say, now let's play a game.
Oh, I see it.
I bet you I could make a rhyme.
Oh, yes.
Out of anybody's name.
Amani?
The first letter of the name.
Orurari.
I treat it like it wasn't there.
Amani?
But a B or an F.
Orurari.
Or an M will appear. And then I say,
Money, money, Bobani, banana, fana, for funny, fee, thon, mo, money.
Amani? Orurari.
Let's do Tony. Tony,
Boboni,
Banana,
Fana, Fofoni, Fee, Fine,
Momoni.
Or are ye?
pretty good. Let's do Billy. Billy, Billy, Bo, Illy, Bo, Nana, Banna, Bo, Billy, Fee, Fi, Mo, Millie.
Amani, Oru, Rai, Rai.
Jojuan. J-O-E-J-U-A-N. Jojuan Williams from Vanderbilt.
Everybody do
Jojuan.
Jojo, Jojo, Jojuan. Banana, banana, fofu, one, fee, five, mo, mo, one.
Jojuan.
I think it's Jojuan.
The name game.
It's, looks like it's Jojuan. Okay. Oru Rari. Amani Oru Rari.
Uruwari.
Uruwari.
Amani Oru Rai Rai.
Tell you what, I bet you Adam Jones who that person is.
Oh, yeah.
The college football guy.
I got to be honest, I am, but I'm listening along. They didn't draft that guy, did they?
No,
who
they
is
didn't.
That guy?
I don't know who that guy is.
I honestly, yeah, I can't figure that one out.
That was
honest.
A big board selection. That guy would have worked out if they picked him.
Oh, I see. That was a.
Not if he was a wide receiver.
I see. That was one of the other markers. I see. I follow. You know what we're going to do tonight? We talk a lot about the local teams here.
Yeah.
So we're just going to talk about generic Team X tonight. Generic Team X. In the last calendar year, here's what's gone on with generic Team X.
Since February-ish?
Here we go.
Yeah, I'd say since about February-ish.
Right.
Their owner got caught up in a prostitution sting. Let's see. They've had multiple arrests, including a couple recently. Boy, the team underachieved on the football field this season. There was another cheating scandal. Or excuse me, a cheating scandal. I shouldn't say another cheating scandal for generic Team X. Seems to be a lot is going on with this team. A star retired. The quarterback could be on the way out the door. A bunch of coaches are on their way out the door.
Antonio Brown.
Right, again, in theory, a player like Antonio Brown.
Someone like that, yeah.
Yeah. So we're just going to start with generic Team X, and you let me know what it sounds like, the direction that franchise is heading in.
There you go, Boston. Enjoy it. It only takes 90 seconds till Jones brings you his good time. Tomorrow is a Friday, Maz. You know what that means.
Yeah, grab your ankles tonight. tomorrow is agenda-free.
Agenda-free Friday on Felger Maz, presented by DraftKings. Returns tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Bye.
StageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.